of God. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in the house of God tonight? We had heaven on earth here Wednesday night, didn't we? And the Lord just moved in a wonderful way, Brother West. We certainly appreciate your obedience to the Lord and appreciate what the Lord, I believe, did for a lot of people right here at this altar. I still believe in altars, don't you? I still believe in that. And Brother Terry, Brother David, Brother West, our ministry here at this local assembly, we've got a lot to be thankful for. The Lord has given us some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministers to work out of this church. Do you appreciate them? Yes. Give them a nice hand tonight if you do. Praise the Lord. And most of all, we appreciate our Heavenly Father. Amen. We appreciate what He means to this assembly. Because without it, that's all it is just an assembly. But if He'll come down, it'll be heaven on earth. Now let's give our Lord Jesus a good hand clap of praise. If you love Him tonight with all your heart. Yes, I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, with all your heart. Oh, I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, Son of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Certainly is a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Brethren, play some of it so they'll shake hands louder. Son of God, oh, I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy, holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory to the Son of God." Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. I want to pray for Sister Maribel Marrero. Her mother, Maribel Marrero's mother, mom, and niece are in the hospital with a virus from a mosquito bite. So they're asking that we would pray for those needs tonight as we pray. Just commit those things unto the Lord. I want to remember Sister Clara Moore. She's in the hospital in Norton, Virginia. Has a blood clot in her right hip. also has had several mini strokes, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. And if you would, I'd appreciate if you'd remember Glenda, my wife, in prayer tonight. She's got to go for an MRI on her knee this week. She can barely walk, so if you would, just remember her tonight in prayer. I want to pray for Brother Harvey Lunsford, who is having sinus problems. Let's pray for him tonight. Sister Peggy Kirkpatrick from Missouri says to please pray for Brooklyn Kirkpatrick, 7-year-old, very sick. Also, Faye Rittenauer, spurs on her right hip. Also, pray for Margaret Carver. James Jones has pancreatitis. And most of all, he needs salvation. So let's remember those needs tonight. Joy Green is sick, needs our prayers tonight. So let's remember that. Brother Samuel just wants this church to know that he appreciates all of you and just for what you mean to his life. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, have you know we're serving a great, wonderful Savior. How many of you believe he is risen? Do you believe it with all your heart? Let's stand to our feet tonight, if you will. Brother Terry, come tonight. Pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord, asking him to have his divine will. God bless you.
Appreciate you. So we all just bow our heads. Let's join our faith together as we pray, and we know that God will bring to pass the desired result. If you can believe, all things are possible. Heavenly Father, truly it's a real privilege to come back to the house of God. We don't just say that because, well, that's what we're supposed to do, but truly it's a privilege because we know one day the doors will close and we won't have that. It'll just be a fond memory, as he said. But truly, Lord, we want to invite your presence. We want you to come and take the uppermost seat. We're come to worship you. We want to divorce all thoughts of today, of what we may do Monday or anything, Lord, but we want to concentrate truly on you because you're our life. You're our Savior, our Lord. You're our Master, our King. You're the lovely one, Lord, and you're coming more and more in plain view. We thank you for the ministry here, but the different ministries here. We thank you for our brothers, Lord, that labor in the field and the missionary work. We thank you for all the many things. We thank you for the free country that we still live in. It's diminishing, Lord. The whole world is diminishing. But Father, we have a promise of escape out of here. And Lord God, not just because we want to leave this old world, but because our desire is to be with our Master and our Maker and our Bridegroom. That's really what we desire from our heart. We've married you, Lord, and we love you so much. We pray for these requests, Lord. I've caught my attention that at least one request for salvation for an individual. Lord, these bodies sick, they'll be healed. They'll get better. But Lord, if you could heal that sick soul, that'll be eternal if they truly were passed from death into life and born into the kingdom of God. We thank you for those that were at the altar and had requests, and some requested to be filled with the Spirit and rededicate their life and get some things out of their life, and many, many requests, Lord. And I know that you met those needs because they were sincere hearts. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the spirit of conviction that was in the service and the message that Brother West brought to us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We appreciate that so much. Tonight, Lord, we're thankful that our pastor and his wife is back. May you just anoint him to speak. Lord, may the words that he speak to us, may they just come flowingly. He'll not have to strain or search, Lord, but they'll just anoint him to speak what we have need of. Whatever avenue that you desire him to go, whether it be encouragement, be rebuke, Lord, just sustaining our faith, adding to our faith, whatever channel you have us to go, that's what we want to go. And each one of these requests been read. I have my hand on them now. It's already been spoken. It's in the airwaves now. We believe that they'll come to pass because you said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. There's faith in the building. Somebody's going to believe for each one of these. We thank you for it. May you grant these things, Lord, and we'll be careful to praise you for a wonderful service we're going to have tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Terry said in his prayer, we're certainly glad to have Brother Donnie, Sister Carol back home with us. Brother Darrell, Sister Cheryl, glad to have them back home with us tonight. Certainly, I know that they certainly enjoy their stay there and had some tremendous services. And we're just glad to be back in church here again tonight at Happy Valley. It's good to see each and every one of you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight with us, we certainly want to welcome you to this service tonight. Glad to have you here. all those that are streaming the service. We pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well tonight. Let's sing a little song that we've sung lots and lots of times, but I kind of believe that everybody's going to be happy over there, don't you? Hey, some of you ain't even happy here. How could you be happy there if you're not happy here? I believe everybody's going to be happy. Are you happy tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know my words don't mean much, but I'm just going to say them anyway. You just need to be happy here tonight. You're in Happy Valley, so be happy. Amen. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. To bear. All the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land. No burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy.
Everybody will be happy.
no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord.
No, no turning.
Be no turning back.
Lord, be no turning back.
Be no turning.
Be no turning back.
No turning back.
Be no turning back. I have decided
to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord.
Oh, no turning.
Be no turning back.
Oh, no. Be no turning back.
Be no turning.
Be no turning back.
Be no turning.
Be no turning back.
The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me.
No turning,
be no turning back.
Lord, be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. The Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got more songs than we're going to be able to work in tonight. I'm going to take them as I received them. Brother Ryan Kennedy is, if he'll come be getting ready to sing. While he's getting ready to sing, Brother Brad, you and Sister Sarah and Brother Chuck and Brother Eric, if you'll come onto the platform and while he's getting his guitar ready, come on, quickly. Sit there and look at me like I'm not even up here. Ryan, you just sit down and get your guitar ready. We'll have Brad and Sarah and Chuck and Eric sing. And Sister Alicia had us a song for in the morning. We've got a carryover song from Wednesday night. We'll get to those, I promise you. The best we can. Only way I know how to tell people is just tell them. I'm sorry, I'm not very adequate in my speech, but let's enjoy these. We appreciate our singers, don't we? Give them a nice hand as they get ready to sing.
Well, don't give up, don't give in. You've got faith and you've got friends, so be strong and keep holding on. God is working even when you can't see. So just believe that where there's a will, He has a way. Where there's a need, He hears us pray. And the answer is coming. Before you ask, the Savior knows. So trust the one who holds you close. 'Cause at the end of the day, where there's a will, He has a way. Well, wins, and just like He brought me through, He'll do the same for you. The rain ain't gonna last, this storm is gonna pass, and His love is more than enough to see you safely to the other side. And I know you'll find that where there's will, He has a way. Where there's need, He hears us pray. And the answer is coming before you ask, the Savior knows. So trust the one who holds you close, 'cause at the end of the day, where there's a need, He hears us pray, and the answer is coming before you ask, the Savior knows. So trust the one who holds you close, 'cause at the end of the day, where there's a will, He has a
Stephen was a deacon in Jerusalem. They dragged him out those city gates, and they tried to quiet him. Stephen preached those Pharisees, they started throwing stones. Before he died, he raised his eyes and saw Jesus on the throne. He said, you can't bury the workmen, but the work will go on. And you can't silence the voices, but you can't stop that song. Bury the workmen, but the work will go on. James was sent to heaven, hid your parents' soul. Peter, he was crucified like his beloved Lord. Roman Colosseums, the lions and the fires. Gates of hell did not prevail. Defend those flames higher than you can. Bury the workmen, but the work must go on. You can silence the voices, but you can't stop that song. When spirits move, will must be done. And you can bury the workmen, but the work will go. Jesus laid him not persuaded by the arrogance of man. So can bury the workman, but the work will go on. You can silence the voices, but you can't stop that song. Bury the workman, but the work will go on. In time, last stage prophet, he died in 1965. But that same word and Holy Ghost today is still alive. And there are many doubters and haters claiming false prophecies. When the trumpet sounds, we'll be changed into immortality. So you can bury the workman, but the work must go on. You can silence them voices, but you can't stop that song. Spirits move, but his will must be done. You can bury the workman, but the work will go on. Bury the workman, but the work will go.
Appreciate your songs tonight. Amen. They were very good. Thank you so much. Let's stand tonight. It's time to go into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight. As our pastor comes, we're so glad that they're back home, as I said before. Let's sing a little chorus tonight as he gets ready to come. He, not that one, but spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. Let's see if we can sing that tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. So spread your wings, little eagles.
Glad you found your wings. In a barnyard, you pretty much need feet. But if you're going to stay up here with us, you better get your wings out. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1 tonight, verse 21. Certainly glad to be home. It's nice to go out and visit with other folks and be able to hear other brothers preach. And had some good meetings in Tucson. The brothers really done good. Enjoyed the fellowship. Enjoyed the preaching. But I'm just a homebody. I like being home. Ain't no place I'd rather preach than right here. That's right. I feel that way. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Let's go back with the king tonight. What do you say? In the gallery of worship. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. Look at the word Jesus. Yeshua. Joshua. Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Thou shalt call his name Iesus. Now, this is Greek. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, wait a minute. I thought that we was the devil's people, and then he was going to come and change us from being goats to being sheep. And that one day you'd sit on your mama's knee and she'd plant a seed in you, or you'd hear a preacher, or you'd drive by a church sign and you'd see something there, and all of a sudden it just plant a seed of God down in you. Where did you hear that lie? You don't get it from the Bible, from the Message. The Bible says he come to save his people. But Brother Donnie, I love my free moral agency. Why? It's caused you so much trouble. Don't you believe in free moral agency? I do. Let me tell you one thing. Adam's free moral agency was not to determine whether or not he'd be a son of God. Hang tight. And neither is yours. If you're an attribute of God, tell me what your little puny free moral agency can have effect on the attributes of God. I've been around too long and too old to believe that. Some of you believe it. I feel sorry for you. Now notice, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now the name of Jesus is not, listen, the name of Jesus is not the way to baptize. Not the name Jesus. Single name, as we knew it in Pentecost. Even saying the name Jesus is not magical, in that you drum it up, Jesus, 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 and it has magical powers. No, no. You see, there was another man whose name was also Jesus during this same time frame. You know him well. You just may not know him by his first name. You know him by the name Barabbas. But actually his name was Jesus Barabbas. You see, when Pilate said, I give you Jesus, which is called the Christ, there was two Jesuses there. So Pilate offered them Jesus Barabbas or Jesus the Christ. It's a lot closer than what you think, friends. Well, I guess we might as well go home. Some of y'all done fell off the pew now. I mean, actually, Jesus Barabbas, his name meant son of a father or son of a master. Now, what's amazing is the name Jesus was given to our Lord Jesus Christ. It was given to him, bestowed upon him at the beginning of his humiliation as his condescension began upon the earth. But prophetically, there was prophetic contents in the name which never was fulfilled until years down the road. Look at his very name. He shall save his people from their sins. He didn't do that when he was born. He didn't do that at the age of 12. Isn't it amazing that in a name can contain such powerful prophetic utterance that it won't happen for years on down the road? And this is the way his name was. Watch in Acts 2:36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. So now look, let's take his name. Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God has made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now notice when this is written by Luke, of course he's writing in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, which is written by Luke, this was written some years after Jesus has ascended to heaven. He was not called Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon the earth. Well, praise the Lord. Are you still excited about church tonight? Amen. Amen. Me too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege we have of being able to assemble ourselves together again. So good to be back together, Lord, with the saints of God here. We just love you. We love each other. We're grateful that we can serve you together. We ask tonight that you'd speak to us by your word, Father. We truly desire to worship, and we want to worship through and by the name that you've given for our means of salvation. But we know millions are speaking the name of Jesus. Millions raise their hands in the name of Jesus. Millions pray in what they think they're doing in the name of Jesus. But yet we know that if they are in the door, in the gate, in the way, and they are rapture ready, that a lot of what we preach is absolute nonsense and a waste of time. But we know, Father, the Word of God interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. Help us tonight as we look into your place of worship, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. What's Paul now, the great man of God that had such understanding in his day about the name of God, the blood of God, the provided place of God? It's amazing that in the first century that you find people by revelation that were worshiping God in his Christ form. They did not count it robbery in that they would be able to worship Jesus, call on the name of Jesus, cast out devils, baptize in his name, heal the sick in the name of Jesus. And yet these were people that were raised to believe in one God. And they said it over and over and over again, which was the theme of the Torah, which was the theme of the Mishnah, which was the theme of Jewish life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So whenever they would be able to comprehend that God had an attribute that projected out of his own being as not another God, they was well able to baptize, worship, adore, and pray in the human name of God called the Lord Jesus Christ. Just sad a lot of folks today have got away from the same thing. Now watch, and this man, with this revelation in mind, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, watch, this is the service now that the humanity of God surrenders to the Spirit God. And Jesus, of course, we do not believe in two-ness around here, nor do we believe in two lords, but we believe there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen? Now, God, the Spirit, the invisible, kenosed himself into a human body, which was an attribute of his own creation. So he emptied himself out, changed his mask, as it was, and took on a human name. You see, the Old Testament would allow them to utter certain titles of God, but the ineffable name of God was not allowed to be pronounced. Even if you look at Jewish websites today, you'll find them and they'll spell G and they'll have a hyphen there and they'll have D. They will not say the name of God. They will not use the name of God if you're talking to a real Jew. Now the reason they'll say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, all these things is because they know that it is a title describing the name. But they will not use the name. because they knew the name was so secret and so precious, they was afraid by saying the name, it would become so common. So God changed this ineffable name from the Old Testament, from being unspeakable, so hallowed, so glorious, so wonderful, that human beings could not speak it. And God changed it into the New Testament to allow it to be a name which could be pronounced, loved, and called, spoke about, talked about, and even the families in heaven and earth would be called by that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is, of course, God's place of worship. Now, watch. He says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, I want you to notice verse 7 and verse 8 first speaks about what the Lord Jesus done. And then in verse 9, we have one word that totally changes it. Now, wherefore is actually a prerequisite, which is, you know what a prerequisite is? It is something that is demanded. It's a chain of events, but a prerequisite is something that is demanded before you go into the next step. If you don't have the prerequisite, you will not get what follows it. Now, what followed the Lord Jesus humbling himself? What followed the Lord Jesus not making himself of a reputation? What followed all of that? God would give him a name which would be above every name. So being humble, being submissive to God was the prerequisite of this great honor. The cross must precede the crown. Humility must precede glorification. Watch how Paul now ties it together with one simple word, wherefore. You realize it's the same way with us in this day. If we truly want to walk with God and we want to go to heaven after a while and be a part of the great economy of God right now, there's things that we must go through. The wherefores in our life are the prerequisites of the crowning glory of the rapture that we're going to experience after a while. The trials, the tests, the ups, the downs, all those things that we go through, they are the prerequisites of the rapturing faith, which will culminate in the changing of our body. Now watch how Paul does this. Wherefore God also highly exalted him. Now watch, this verse marks a turning point in the drama of what we see, the Father's drama of the humiliation of Jehovah's servant of Isaiah 53. Now this was Jehovah's servant, and it was the attribute of the sonship of God. Not another being, not a second person, the Godhead, but the Godhead made manifest in human form. And the church said, now what's how God would do it? Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, there's things you can say about the Father that you can't say about the Son. I totally agree with your point. And there's things you can say about the Son you can't say about the Holy Ghost. I totally agree with that. Like there's things you can say about my soul that you can't say about my spirit. And there's things you can say about my spirit that you can't say about my body. But all three of them are me. My soul ain't one person, my spirit another person, and my body another person, but all three of those make me. Praise the Lord. And when I go into my chains, I will still have three, and that is the seed, the theophany, and the glorified body, in order to reflect the eternal power of the Godhead through eternity. We'll still bear that triunity even in our own being. You bear it now as a human being, you'll bear it in the glorified body, for you will take your body to meet the theophany. So you, the seed of God, and then on the inside will be the theophany, which now you have in the place of a human spirit, of course, and in there you'll have a glorified body. And here the Lord Jesus coming to the earth, it was Spirit God, which was immutable, unchangeable, invisible, which could not be touched, seen, heard, felt, anything like that, but he projected out of his own being an attribute in the form of sonship. It would come to the earth in a human, and God the Spirit would say things about this body that it would seem as if so to those who don't have revelation that he's talking about another person. But if you would hear me talk to myself sometimes, and if I would hear you talk to yourself sometimes, it might seem as if so you're talking to another person too. And in one way you are, and another way you're not. Now, to take your spirit out of you, you'll lose your mind, right? To take your soul out of you, you'll not be able to exist as a mortal, of course. To take the body away from the spirit and the soul, your disembodied spirit. So without all of those making you, you are not you. It's the same way with the power of the Godhead, that the Father God, which was made known by the pillar of fire, and small glimpses of the sonship revealed, and the Logos, and then the cloud, and the light, here and there and there, and it was the attribute of God wanting to condescend and make himself known. So when God comes on the earth in the form of Jesus, then when we worship Jesus, we are worshiping God the Spirit in his Christ form. And everybody that understood that, that quick said amen. Oh dear God, nobody. Brother Charlie, well, thank the Lord. I'll keep going there. Now watch. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. Notice what follows wherefore. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now two contrasts govern the transition, and that is the humiliation before the exaltation. The humiliation before the exaltation and the servitude versus lordship. Now watch. God, the Spirit, the invisible, has given him a name which is above every name. Now that name is not just saying Jesus. Now listen carefully, it's okay for you to be quiet. God has given him a name which is above every name. But that's not just saying Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You see, there's lots of folks even today that are named Jesus. That's why we came baptized in the name of Jesus. Look at the word name. In the Greek, it is onoma, and it's the name is used for everything which the name covers. Everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name. For one's rank, authority, interest, pleasure, command, excellencies, deeds, etc. Now this is what the name meant to the people who wrote the Bible. So unlike us, when we just call people all kinds of names and we think of a certain name, to us in the Western civilization, it doesn't mean what it did was when the Bible was written. So to them, to be given a name, it was rank, it was your honor, it was who you was. So by mentioning the name, when you would say the name, then a person's personality was identified by the name. So if we knew a person today whose name was Jesus, and we would walk up and shake your hand, how are you, Jesus? I'm doing fine. How are you, Donnie? Well, I'm okay. Jesus, where you been? And Jesus, you done this, and Jesus, you done that. But yet, in your mind, you'd have to say, now this is not my Jesus. This is not my Savior Jesus or my Redeemer Jesus. Yet, he's got the name Jesus, which is very common among the Spanish, Jesus. So he's not our Savior Jesus. So when I say Jesus, I don't look at this man and think he is my Redeemer, he is my Savior, he is my King, yet he would bear the same human name. But God never made that Jesus both Lord and Christ. So then would shake this Jesus' hand and say, Jesus, how did you come to God? Well, I was born in a family of a drunk. My daddy done this and my mama done that, and I run around on this and other. We'll see right there. We know automatically that this is not our Jesus, because our Jesus wasn't born that way. Our Jesus never lied. He never stole. He never drank. He never ran around. But yet God never made this Jesus both the Lord and Christ. So God has given this human attribute of redemption a name. Now listen, it's not just saying the name Jesus, but God has given him a reputation, a dignity, an honor, that if there was 1 billion people on the earth named Jesus, God has given the Lord Jesus Christ a name that is above every other human.
human being on the face of the earth by the name Jesus. You understand? Now, there are churches and there are brides, so-called. There are churches and brides. But God has given to His real bride, the elect of God, also a name which is above every other group that is called bride or church. Now, how is that then? It is a name by her reputation, by her dignity, by her birth, by divine nature given to her by the Spirit of God. So even though you would say, well, we call ourselves bride too. We call ourselves church too. But yet has God given them a name which matched the title that they claim? And of course we would say no. Now watch this. That which is graciously bestowed upon our Lord was not a name, but the name. The name. And the word here appears in the Greek text, and it says exactly that. The English doesn't convey it quite right. But the name was a common title denoting office or authority. So the expression of the name of God in the Old Testament denotes His divine presence. What's this in Acts chapter 7, verse 44? Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as He had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles. Do you know that Jesus there is not Jesus? It's Joshua. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Is everybody awake? Now sing. When our King James translators translated this, they actually used the word that was common to them in their language. Now how many of you have read your Bible for years and years and read this and couldn't quite understand it because you're thinking, Jesus. Jesus, but read it with this in mind. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as He had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that He should make it according to the fashion that He had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out. Notice the time frame. He's not talking about our Lord Jesus. But Luke is talking about in the dispensation of Joshua. Dear Lord, I might as well dismiss. I done lost every one of you. Now watch. Jesus in the Greek is Joshua in the Hebrew form. Oh, Brother Donnie, that enough to convince me? Good. I've got another one for you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear My voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? So you mean Jesus gave us rest and it wasn't enough rest? This is not the Lord Jesus. This is Joshua. The very same word again. Hallelujah. You see, the Syriac version of this actually renders it Joshua, the son of Nun. So Jesus is the Greek mode of writing Joshua. So when Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he wrote the Greek mode of Joshua. And yet many of us have read this for years, decades of our life, and read that verse and tried to understand, what does it mean that Jesus gave him rest? But if Jesus had gave him rest, then why would there be a promise? It wasn't your Lord Jesus. It was their Jesus. The Hebrew Jesus. Yahshua. Well, praise the Lord. Can I go on? Well, I'm going to anyway. Acts chapter 13, watch this, now verse 6. When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, Bar means son. B-A-R means S-O-N. Remember Jesus calling Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, Bar Jonah? Bar David, B-A-R means son. So they found this certain false prophet, and his name was Bar Jesus, or son of Jesus. Now here was this false prophet who had took on his father's name. And his father's name was Jesus. And he was his father's name. And he was a false prophet. So they called him son of Jesus, or Bar Jesus. That hurts our feelings. It hurts our feelings because we think just saying the name of Jesus, the name Jesus, is so sacred. I agree, if you're putting it on the right person. But the name Jesus is not magic. The name Jesus can be screamed and written and put on every billboard in the country and won't save anybody if they don't believe in the power behind the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now what's in? So they found this false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. So what does this prove to us? So we have a Jesus Barabbas, and we have a Jesus and a Bar-Jesus. So God gave our Lord Jesus a name which was above every other name. But it wasn't just Jesus. This is why people can worship in the name of Jesus, and God don't even receive it. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you're as far off as if you was baptized in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You see, when we first came to the message down in Kentucky, and there's a bunch of the folks in the church there that I'd started in Kentucky, and a lot of them was baptized in what we call single name. And that was the name of Jesus. Well, when I began to preach the message and show that it was not correct to be baptized just in the name of Jesus, a bunch of those folks wanted to be rebaptized. Amen. And a bunch of their Pentecostal friends heard about it. Of course, they knew I was going to baptize them in the name of Brother Branham. We didn't have a baptistry in our church, so we went down to a local creek. And it come through the grapevine. They didn't have Facebook, thank God, then. So somehow it come through the telephone or whatever more. And they heard it was going to be rebaptized. And so here was all these folks sitting up on the bridge. And I was down in the creek just right beneath the bridge. And they come to hear them. Boy, I mean, they was listening. Even the kids wasn't making a peep. But brother, don't worry. I didn't want them to have any shadow of a doubt. I screamed it to the top of my voice. I baptize you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is God's human name of redemption. Praise the Lord. And I say those who baptize in the name of Brother Branham are false prophets and liars. Exactly right. Whatever name you use other than the name of Lord Jesus Christ is not accepted for baptism, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to be married in, and so on. And the church said, but Jesus alone is not enough. Screaming and hollering, oh Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you. Now do I have to say Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Donnie, every time I say that? No, you sure don't. But it depends upon the character of the person you're placing the name on. You see, many times in the book of Acts, they would say Jesus or Lord Jesus or in His name. But when they spoke His name, they were not thinking of Bar Jesus Father. They was not thinking of Jesus Barabbas, but they were thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the name to them, whether they said Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, however was they said it, or if they just briefly said Jesus when they prayed in Jesus' name, Satan, in the name of Jesus, come out. They was not thinking of their uncle, their nephew, their brother. They was thinking of their Lord and Savior. Amen. Can't you see why the very name of God is hid in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then how did Satan catch this name?
How did Satan start having people to name their children this name which had never been uttered, as far as we know, until the angel spoke it? Was the demons of hell or Satan himself standing around Mary and heard this name come out of the lips of the angel of God? And all of a sudden, now that the mystery was spoke, he started, name your child Jesus, name yours Jesus, name yours Jesus. He's a master of impersonation. It don't matter to him as if there's 10 billion Jesus in the world, ours sticks out above them all. Because he has a name that is above every other name. Now his name is not just saying Jesus, but it is the character and the reputation that goes with the name. And the saints said, praise the Lord. Now once again in Philippians chapter 2 verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now listen carefully, it is not the name Jesus, but every knee will bow to the name of. Read your Bible. At the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is at the name that belongs to Jesus. So, if at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, well, can we find a brother named Jesus and we'll just bow down to him and say, well, according to the Bible, I just fulfill the scripture because I bowed my knee to Jesus. No, you never. That man don't have the fullness of the attribute of the character of the name. His mother and father wanted him to be called that name. But at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Nero can't make that claim. And neither can the devil make that claim. Neither can any other world ruler that ever existed on the face of the earth. There's only one person that can ever make that claim, that every knee will bow to me. And it's not just saying the name Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. The nomo, the nomeo. It's everything about his character. Even demons out of hell will have to bow in the last at the end time and have to say he is Almighty God. They won't bow out of love. They won't bow out of desire. They will bow out of fear. Every name. Notice this, that at the name, the word at in the Greek is literally in. It is in the name that every knee will bow. The name is the spiritual sphere. The spiritual sphere or atmosphere. The holy element, as it were. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now listen, this is a prophecy which has not yet come to pass. Every knee hasn't bowed yet. All the infidels, all the fools. You shouldn't call them out. Why? I'm quoting Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There won't be one infidel in hell. There won't be nobody in hell saying, I don't believe there's a God for you. I don't believe there's a God. They'll know there's a God. And they're going to bow their knee before they ever go to hell. Hey friends, if we're going to bow, let's bow now. Let's bow now. And they will not bow. Can you imagine when many of these people, they will bow before him. And they will see not this old dotty grandpa that lets them get by with doing anything and everything and loves everybody the way they are. And they don't have to change. Can you imagine the preachers in this day that is damning folks to hell? And they're going to stand before God and they look into their eyes as a flame of fire. And he tells them, why did you get up there and tell the people that? Why did you tell the people I love them remaining in their sin? Why didn't you tell them the truth? My shaking and trembling, they'll bow the knee. Oh, your Lord, your God, I'm sorry, but it's too late. Oh my, let me bow right now. Let me tell the truth. Let me bow to the name. Not just scream Jesus and holler Jesus and be baptized. But let me bow to the character, to the nature, to the dignity, to the honor, to the superiority of everything that lays in his name. May I take His name upon me as His bride. Oh. I want you to notice three worlds that are inhabited that will bow to this name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of things in heaven. The angels, cherubim, seraphim, zooms, the saints in the sixth dimension, which no doubt contains many categories of church ages. Well, when Brother Branham was carried beyond the curtain of time and never saw Paul's group, he saw his. No doubt there's different groups of them there under that altar. Everything in heaven will bow to this name. But that's not all. He said, of the things in heaven and the things, oh my, in earth and things under the earth. You see, angels worship Him not only as God, but as the ascended God-man. You'd not believe some of the trash and nonsense that people around this message are promoting, that Jesus is not even actually God. That Jesus cannot even be worshipped around this message. That Jesus is so superior, even inferior rather, that Jesus cannot receive worship. That's worse than what I believed when I was a Trinitarian. Come on, children. That stuff didn't come from a prophet of God. Oh, God, help us tonight. What's this in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6? And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, let all! Let all! The angels of God worship Him. And yet God says He will share His glory with none. He won't with another person. He's not sharing it with another person. It's an extension of Himself. So He said, let all. You tell me He's not worthy to worship when the invisible Spirit God said, let every angel I've got left in heaven, let every one of them bow down to Him. Praise God. Let all the angels of God worship Him. 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Oh, glory. Notice again, Paul goes on to say in Philippians 2:10, the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and in earth, both good men and bad. Everybody. Pardon me. Hey, Lucifer, slewfoot, blabbermouth liar, you're going to bow to my Lord. So things in heaven, things in the earth. Now watch Paul. And he said things under the earth. The underworld, the Greek word katachinos. Angelic inhabitants in Tartarus. And demonic inhabitants of the abyss. Also human inhabitants of Sheol. Or Hades, all other inhabitants of the infernal world. You see, the lost go somewhere. Sheol or Hades, as it said in the Bible. They don't go to a burning lake of fire yet. No, they don't. They go into a prison, but every one of them will bow. Every demon that used to stand before the presence of God will bow. To what? The character. Amen. The perfection of the Godhead. Oh, they're screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not just the name of Jesus they are scared of. It's the character behind the name. It's the same with us. We can scream Christian all day long. We can scream I'm in the message all day long. But if there's not a life behind that profession, they'll laugh at you. Glory, Romans chapter 14, verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. Revelation 5:13, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth. Watch John go to the same realm now. And under the earth, such as are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The homage of the demons and the lost is not out of love, but out of fear. You imagine when the lost come before him that day, and they will bow as low as any human being can ever get. And they will quiver and they will shake and beg for mercy. Every demon will bow before him and they will beg because they know where they're going. Remember when Jesus stepped out on the hogs and the demons come out of the man and said, please don't cast us out into the deep. Please don't cast us out. Why? Why didn't they not want to go into the abyss? Into those regions, the Bible tells us it was chains of darkness. It is a temporary relief for them to be called out of such a world to even live in a hog. Oh God. And one day they will bow and they will, oh my, shake and tremble and quiver, knowing they're not going to the abyss. They're not going to Tartarus. They're not going to the nether world. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire and burned for maybe millions of years. And they will bow. Oh, brother, sister, if every knee's got a bow, let's bow ours now. I'm not talking about bowing one time. I'm talking about bowing our life to submission to our Lord Jesus. Notice what they'll do, verse 11. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is one of the Lord's. Is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the completed name of God. The name here, Lord, is Kyrios, the Old Testament name for God. So when you say, Lord Jesus Christ, you are saying, God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Lord, or Jesus Christ our God. Not one of our gods. Not one of our lords. Praise the Lord. Oh my, the root meaning of this term, Kyrios, was used in the Septuagint to translate the divine name, Yahweh. The word Lord denotes rulership, competent, authoritative power. The identity of the expression Lord Jesus Christ with the sacred, unpronounceable name of God as known to the Jews. God changed the ineffable. Look at this word. Ineffable means too great, powerful, beautiful to be described or expressed. When the angel was asked, what is your name? He said, why did you ask my name? Seeing it is a secret. So God changed his secret, unpronounceable, unapproachable name. Ineffable, too powerful, too great. And he condescended with his humanity and took on a human name of redemption. Oh, glory. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Isn't it amazing it doesn't say us? Every knee will bow to us. Isaiah 45:22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me. So is every knee going to bow to God or bow to Jesus? This is the way the Lord put it on my heart years ago when I went to China and started dealing with the Godhead. This is the part Brother Biscoe listened to and said when he seen the direction I was going to, he started feeling so sorry for the devil. Because the Lord gave me leading to take these scriptures in the Old Testament where God said, I'm the first. Then go to the New Testament where Jesus said, I'm the first. than where God said, I'm the last, and Jesus said, I'm the last. God said, every knee will bow to me, and Jesus said, every knee will bow to me. Glory! Unless there's two or three bowings going on, or two or three gods going on, this must be the same person. Hallelujah! That in order to worship Him, we've got to know who we're worshiping and how many there are. Are there this many, or this many, or that many, or that many, or how many are there up there? What is His name? What is the power of His name? How do we get into His name? You see, to worship in the name of Jesus Christ is to worship God in His Christ form. Amen. St. John 5:43. Jesus says, I come in my Father's name. And you receive me not. If another come in His own name, prophetically speaking, of course, him ye will receive. St. John 10:25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. But yet we have no record, no scriptural account where Jesus ever said, in the name of God, in the name of God, in the name of Jehovah, in the name of Adonai, I do this in the name of the Father. He was His Father's name. He was Bar God. Son of God. He was in His Father's name, and His Father's name was Jesus. Glory. I'm Bar Jesus. I'm a son of God. Are you a son of God, daughter of God? Now watch, in St. John 12:28, he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and will glorify again. Now listen to this. A voice speaks out of heaven. And the people thereof that stood by heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. So God, now the Spirit, now remember the throne of God was not in the sense visibly vacant to demons. When Jesus was upon the earth, God projected the fullness of the attribute of the Godhead in the human body called Jesus Christ. But you imagine Satan still going before the throne of God, and here was all this Shekinah, here was all this glory, here was all this that was still there that he's never been able to totally approach unto. And when he goes up there, he looks and he sees that, and he comes back down here and looks at him and says, I'm confused. Well, good. That's really good. Then that means you don't understand the program of God. Then that means when he dies upon the cross, whenever he suffers that as a man, you'll not believe it's him because you're still seeing that glory, that Shekinah there on the throne of God. If there had been nothing there and the throne was totally empty, he would have known he was on the earth. He would have never crucified him in order to set you free. But God had to veil his humanity in weakness of human flesh. Oh, glory to God. Notice St. John 17:6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now here, again, where did Jesus ever say the name of God? So manifesting the name is not just saying it over and over, over again. If some folks didn't tell you they was a Christian, you'd never know that they even made the claim. Because they don't manifest the name. Well, I'm a Christian, yet they drink. Christians, this, they drink and all this. I mean, some of those who've left the message now, they feel like that it's perfectly okay to drink at least 5 beers. No more than 5 now. 5, of course, being grace and 5 being Jesus, I suppose. I'm not sure where they get all their idiotic symbols and stuff that you're allowed to drink 5. I mean, if you could drink 5, why not drink 7 for the complete perfect number of God? Or maybe going up to 40. Well, let's just go on up to 50. I mean, that's the number of worship and praise and all that. By then, we won't even know where we are now. But you figure once you leave the truth, you're open to all kinds of damnable ideas and heresy. So manifesting the name Christian is much more. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a message believer. I go to Happy Valley. I believe this. That has nothing to do with it if your life is not manifesting what you claim. Now, Jesus just stood and said, Father, I have manifested your name. Not repeated your name. Now, when the disciples heard this and they keep asking him, who is the Father? Who is the Father? And he's telling them, Lord, I've manifested your name. And they're thinking, what have you told us? What name have you given us? And he had not uttered a new name of God. He had not said some Jehovah, something another, or some Adonai, something another. But he manifested the name of God, which was what? Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. He revealed God to them in the person of his word. You see, a little bit of God's character was manifest in the Christian, the sun, the moon, the stars. A little more of his character was displayed in the earth and the universe. A little more was displayed when he made man in Genesis. And a little more was displayed on down through the Old Testament. But now we see the manifestation of God's heart. Now we see for the first time the very heart of God, which the name of God projected from his very being. And Jesus could say it like no other. Amen. I've manifested your name. Can I go on? Watch Acts chapter 3 verse 16. After Peter and John have performed a miracle by the power of God, notice what happens here whenever they are questioned. The lame man, of course, was healed. And he said, his name through faith in his name. His name through faith in his name has made this man strong. Amen. Notice now, his name, it's not just his name, but through faith in his name has made this man strong. Isn't it amazing that Peter doesn't even call the name here? Peter doesn't say Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, or Lord Christ, or Christ the Lord, but he just says his name. And faith through his name has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now watch how Peter is taking a unity that has now come after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they were not now using the name Jesus as some magical connotation of witchcraft, abracadabra, abraca something or another. So they didn't just replace all of those words and conjure up some type of spirits and say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But Peter associated the miraculous with his name and faith in his name and the faith that comes by him. You see, this is where the nominal Christian world misses it, because you can only have the faith that comes by him when you get his divine nature by a new birth. Becoming a Christian does not impart to you the divine nature of God. It simply is you as a glass laying out in the barnyard, and God by his grace reached down and picked you up and took you in the house and washed you off. But you're as empty as you was the day before you got saved. Amen. But Peter has now received the Holy Ghost, and the manifestation of the name is now opened up by the church. And he's saying it was his name and faith in his name. And oh yeah, by the way, we couldn't have that faith in his name if he hadn't given it to us. Millions of people believe in the name of Jesus. But only a few people around the world believe in the name of Jesus. Can't you see what Satan's done? He has got more Jesuses. The Baptist folks have fashioned their own Jesus. And their Jesus don't mind if you smoke. He don't mind if you cuss a little bit. As a matter of fact, he understands it. He knows you can control your lusts and you can control your habits. And then the Methodists, of course, they didn't like the Baptist Jesus because, you know, they're Methodists. So the Methodists kind of made them their own Methodist Jesus. My, it's amazing how many Jesus we got. And then them folks that have followed around the message for so many years and left the Jesus, now you know what they've done? Left the message, they have now made themselves another Jesus. Now they don't like the Jesus of the Baptist, so they'll take a little bit of what they like about him, and they don't really necessarily like the Jesus that the Methodists have gotten. They sure don't like our Jesus, because our Jesus makes you live right. So they make them a Jesus, which will let them do whatever they want to do, live any way they want to live, and yet they're going in the rapture. My, they're going right on, and they're so happy, and they're so free now, and they just can't believe they've wasted all these years hanging around the message. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's why a lot of them feel. I feel sorry for them because they're blind, wretched, Laodiceans, and they're spiritually naked, and they're going to wind up in tribulation period and into hell if they don't repent. So would they want the Jesus of the Word? No, so they reshape a Jesus, and they make a Jesus so whenever they say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, please do this, Jesus, do this. This is why they scream and shout. The prophet said, and get nothing, but it will be revealed in the thunders. And the thunders ain't seven men that's going to come and utter forth. It is the mystery of God that's revealed to the message in the end time. What is it? The very name of God. They don't want to just stand and scream Jesus, scream Jesus, scream Jesus to the top of our voice. But we manifest Jesus by the way we live every day of our lives. We have manifested your name. Oh my. What did Jesus do? God chose the humanity of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus could say, I have given light to your character. They never knew how you were till I came. So I manifested your name. Now when this life is said and done and you and I roll up in a box somewhere, I hope the same thing can be said about us. The people you work with, your family, your friends, your acquaintances, whoever more, that you could say the same thing. Oh, you may never preach a sermon. You may never prophesy. You may never, you know, build all kinds of churches around the world and do this and that. But every one of us can do this, and that is manifest the Father's name and our little place. Can I go on? Watch now. Peter says, and his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith in the name of Jesus is faith in the person of Jesus himself. Not only did Peter have faith in him, but Peter had the faith of him. Glory. St. John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. St. John 17:26. Now remember, this is being spoken on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. After they have communion and foot washing, Jesus and the 11 leave the room and they begin to walk, and Jesus begins to speak of St. John 14, 15, 16, and 17. After the unbelievers departed from the elect, then the mystery of God, the name of God, become more clear. You can't really say it when they're around. Hallelujah. Separation is not always bad. Sometimes it's a sign we're close to the rapture. Now watch. Jesus begins to speak about oneness. It begins to speak about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. For the way I go and the hour I'm going, you know that already. Then Philip saith unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When was this said? After Judas had departed. St. John 15, if you all the great blessed St. John 15, when he talks about the oneness of the Father. St. John 16, when he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will pray the Father, and he will send another Comforter who will abide with you forever. What was it? He was revealing the name of the Father to the elect after the final separation had come. He was manifesting the very character of God that he had not made known up to this time. They'd never heard these words. And when they were hearing these things, it was the expression of the Father's name or character. I've manifested your name. Watch St. John 17:26. I have declared unto them thy name. And yet where in the four Gospels did he speak the name of God? Jehovah Shalom, Adonai, Jehovah Elohim. Now in the temple every Sabbath day, they're saying the name of God, the titles that they can say. And Jesus said more name than they ever said. Why? He was declaring the name of God. Isn't it amazing? When you study the history and the name become lost down through the ages. When the bright light was crushed down in the seed of the early church, was crushed under denominational dirt, and they took on a title through the dark ages. Isn't it amazing? In this age, the name of God must appear. And it appeared before Elijah got here. The revelation of water baptism. Notice Brother Ram was the first one to reintroduce that. It was already here. Glory to God. The name of the bridegroom was made known at the turn of the 20th century. What for? To lead the way for the messenger of Malachi 4 to come and further reveal the name. The angel called the human name Jesus. But yet it was further in the writings of the scriptures of the New Testament that the apostles began to set forth the further revelation of the name of God. What was they showing? His very character. This is where we worship, church. Oh my, it's not screaming and shouting. It's not bubble dancing. All that's well and good. But in order for God to receive our worship, it must be under the name, the character, the word. What's this? I have declared. I love this word. Made known. Give to understand. To become known, be recognized, gain knowledge of. I have declared unto them thy name. Unlike Brother Branham, Jesus never had a Jehovah Jireh series. Jesus never taught on the seven compound names of Jehovah. But he manifested the name of God. Declared. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. Now watch. I have declared and I will declare it. The cross will bring further declaration to the name of Jesus. Amen. There are still things he hasn't fulfilled and completed about the name Jesus. He still hasn't saved his people from their sins. So he said, I have declared and I will continue to declare. I'm fixing to make a further declaration. I'm fixing to go to the cross. Not only that, I'm fixing to go to hell. And I'm fixing to come back up through paradise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have declared thy name unto them and will declare it. Oh, glory. Not only will he stop there, but he will further declare the name of God in the resurrection. in the resurrection, when he raises from the dead, God will make him both Lord and Christ. He could not be given this title that I hold the keys of death and of hell before Calvary. He could not stand there and say to John, I have all power in heaven and on earth. He could not been called Lord Jesus Christ before Calvary. But after Calvary, moreover, that was the part that must precede. Amen. It must be the cross that precedes the crown. It must be the glory. Oh my, glory must follow your humbling and getting down where God can use you. And here stands the Lord Jesus, and I will declare your name. And them standing there wondering, what is he talking about? Like some of you are probably saying, now, what is he trying to say? What's Brother Donnie? Why don't he just come out and tell us? I am. Why don't he just say the name? Say the name. I am. I'm giving you the character behind the name. Oh, glory. Don't you love him? Aren't you glad you're called by this name? Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Would it be proper language to say in the name of Donnie Reagan, Terry Horn, Jim Babb, Charlie, Carol? Would that be proper to say it that way? In the name of all these people? Why would Jesus say in the name of? Name. Baptizing them in the name. Not names. Now this is the final definition of the true name of God. And this is the one who declared the name of God, so he should know. Amen. Devil, your Trinitarian threefold cord don't hold us no more. Amen. Now watch Jesus consummate the threefold manifestation of God in the way he says this. The threefold name of God is consummated in Matthew 28:19. In the name of the Father and of the Son. Now, he never said in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. He never said that. He said in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Each separate title gives a distinct manifestation to the attribute that is being called to the divine name. So there's things you could say about the Father, invisible, immortal, the only wise God, who cannot be approached to, who no man has ever seen, and the prophet said, never will. In the name of the Father, the Old Testament being that manifested himself, in the name of the Son, the ineffable, unpronounceable Old Testament name of God, now changed into a human attribute, Jehovah's servant, hallelujah, to bring reconciliation of all the attribute sons who was on the Lamb's Book of Life. So there's things you can say, well, Jesus could die, but God couldn't. Amen. My body can die, but my soul can't. So you can say the same thing about me. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Father, of course. Praise the Lord. But it is not the Father in the fullness of the attribute that will leave the throne of God. And he's got the Holy Ghost here tonight. People all over the world got the same thing. Is there still something in heaven? Is there still something in heaven? Then you don't have the fullness then. Jesus had the fullness in one human being. You've got a part and you've got a part and you've got a part and I've got a part. I'm not the fullness. We are the fullness as a body. Praise the Lord. Now watch. Into the name is a Hebraism which signifies to devote oneself to a particular person, to be desired to call after their name. Now, let's say it this way. What if the next time I get ready to marry a couple? They come up here and we go through all the songs. My, everybody sings their songs. Everything's so pretty. And my, it just went so nice. And then at the end of it, I pronounce you man and wife. You may kiss your bride. And then they turn around and walk right up here and stand right up here in the front. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Son of the Father of the Grandfather. And y'all going to look at me and think, poor old feller. It's fine. It took its toll on him. But that is the truth. Because this man would be a son of the father of the grandfather. So what if I just pronounce him, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Son. Or maybe I should say Mr. and Mrs. Brother of the Brother. Or, y'all look at me funny. Do you think it would sound more appropriate if I said son of the mother instead of son of the father? What if I said brother of the sister? Or, let me say it this way. Mr. and Mrs. Human Being. Do you think the courthouse would accept that on the marriage license? What if that man and woman went down to the courthouse, Carter County, or wherever they go to get their license, and they go down and say, your name, sir, son? No, I want your name. Son. Well, your father, father. I want your father's name. Well, he's my father. They think you're nuts. It's kind of what I think. About folks who read the scripture, I'm going to use this as a name. I know, what if yesterday you got your wages, your check, and you drove by, man, you're so happy, you come to the drive-thru window, and you was lined up for a half a mile, and you come to there, and boy, you got your wages for the week, or 2 weeks, or whatever it was, you come in there, and they made it out to your name, and on the back of it, you sign, you put brother of the brother, or son of the father, the grandfather, a human being. Them people at that window already hate you on Friday anyhow. And if you pull up in there and you say brother of the son of the mother of the, they're going to think, oh, what a kook. Why is it my luck to get these nuts? Sir, we cannot cash your check. We need your name. Well, may I say to God, if we want to be baptized and enter into your gates, we need your name. And he can say back to me, Donnie, I gave you the mystery of my name in Matthew 28:19. Lord have mercy, it's quarter to nine. I've been around Brother Tim too long. Let's stand. Got to turn to Arizona. Got that old long-winded spirit on me, didn't I? Forgot to look at that clock. Y'all have to pray me back through here. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Children, we take it so for granted. Every person that comes up here in baptism, we baptize them in the formula that's 2,000 years old. We pray to one God. To one God. Who's been prayed to for thousands of years. It's so common to us. Do you understand if you'd lived 150 years ago? You'd been married in titles, baptized in titles, buried in titles, your children christened in titles. Everything you've done would have been in titles. But God has allowed you to live in the great awakening when the name of God has returned. Not just saying the name of Jesus, but the declaration of his name. You see, this is what gets folks in trouble when they criticize this message. Because this message is a further revealing of the name of God. shows us more about his character, more about his way. How many loves the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How much would you know about God if you only had the four Gospels, though? What if we get rid of the book of Luke or the book of Acts? Let's start with Acts. We just totally take that out and say, well, you know what? I'm going to take what Jesus said. Let's just take what Jesus said. So we get rid of the book of Acts. So we would not see that church in action. We would not know how they baptized. Then we'll come on over and get rid of the book of Romans, which is definitely going to get rid of our predestination. And Ephesians, which is also going to get rid of some of our predestination. And Galatians and Philippians and Philemon and on and on and on and on and on. What would we know about him? Please don't misunderstand me. When these men began to write after receiving the Holy Ghost, they made a further declaration about the name, character of God than even what Jesus did in his short stay on the earth. Why? It was his will to do it this way. They would be allowed to say things. Paul would be able to go to the book of Hebrews and open up things about the sacrifice and all those things there that Jesus never touched when he was here. So they would be able to see, oh, so that's why they've done that in the Old Testament. That's why they waved the sheaf offering. That's why when the corn come to maturity, there was two cycles of harvest. One was a barley and one was a wheat. And that's why they would go out there, the priest, on Thursday afternoon, and they'd look in the corner, which had always come the ripest first in the corner facing the sun, and they'd go in the corner and they'd cut down a handful of the sheaves and they'd take it in. You mean that was Jesus? That was Jesus. Oh, glory. What was they declaring? Not the name of a church. Not their name. The name of God. You imagine when they begin to receive these things and they would go to church and they'd walk in and say, think of it. Think of it. Jesus was that first handful of barley that was cut down. 40 days later when they go to having the wheat harvest and they cut it on down, that's us. That's us. Can you imagine when they went out to worship? Oh, Lord Jesus, we're your wheat wife. We're your wheat bride. So we're not just standing here doing this like the Jews are over there in the temple, but we're actually the body word. We hold the name. Are we the only ones worshiping? No. But we're just some of the few that's worshiping right. Were the apostles the only one worshiping? There was way more of the Jews worshiping than there were apostles. But they were worshiping right. The Jews were outdated. Praise God. Praise God. How many wants to manifest, declare the name? The name. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, you'd help us tonight, Lord. I know I've given them some things to comprehend and think about, and I pray you'd make it real to them, Lord. May they not just seek it out by knowledge. Oh, I don't mind them checking me out and looking up words and all that sort of thing. I don't mind that at all. I like it when they do it. But help them, Father, not to rely on their ability to type in some word and do a search. But may they pray for revelation and understanding that we can manifest the name. Millions of people. Carol, I heard Brother Branham say the other day as was driving back across the country, when he said in the last days, there would be millions and millions of people on the earth that would be nothing but mimics of Christianity. Millions times millions. Mimics of Christianity. So they'd say the name. They'd say they love it. They'd call themselves by it. But you don't receive the worship. Lord, if I'm going to bow my knee, I want to bow it now, Lord. I don't want to live for you out of fear. I don't want to serve you out of fear. I want to live for you out of love. My works that I do for you, I don't want to do it out of fear, scared of you.
that day. No, sir. I want to do it because I love you. Help me to declare your name, Lord. Not only by what I preach, but by the way I live. I've tried to declare and manifest your name. But I know those of us who are alive, when the rapture takes place, we will further declare your name. For we will testify in a multiplied form. Glory to God. What has been testified by Enoch, what has been testified by them saints, the prophet tells us there's three raptures in the Old Testament. Glory. And there's going to be three in the New. Lord Jesus, I pray, may we be ready to further declare your name in our resurrection. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. Praise God. How many wants to be, not just be called by the name of Jesus, but display the character, the traits, the characteristics of the name? Oh my, we don't want to be Jesus Barabbas, Jesus Baptist, Jesus Methodist, Jesus Church of God, or Jesus' message, an impersonator. In the last days, don't you see what's been offered to the people? Jesus the Word is being put here. Which will you have? Jesus the Word or Jesus Baptist? You know what most of the Baptists is going to choose? Jesus Baptist. Methodists will choose their Jesus. Some of the message people that's come and made their own Jesus, made him the second Lord, and this little weakling, powerless thing are before God, they'll choose him. That ain't my Jesus. My Jesus, every knee will bow to him. All the angels of God will bow before him. Every devil out of hell will bow before him. My God, my Jesus is not a puny little old second in command in heaven. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, aren't you glad tonight? Isn't it a shame that the prophet of God come to take us away from such things, and people around the message allow theologians to take us back into that same old bondage? Listen, friend, it's not a prophet of God that brings that trash. It's a theologian. We didn't need theologians. We needed a prophet of God. And today, after that prophet is gone, we still don't need theologians. We need men of God who are eunuchs that have no seed of their own. Too many of the preachers around this message have seed of their own, and they want to produce their own kind of children. Come on now. They want to produce their own kind. I hope to God I produce no Reagans here. I hope to God, as long as I'm a preacher, that I don't produce any of my own. I hope what I'm able to produce is the children of God that love the Lord Jesus and love of His name and baptize in His name. Not only that, but manifest in His name by the way you live. Oh, you may say it in a joking manner. Well, I'm a Reaganite. I'm this, that, and the other. It might, you know what? I'm not so sure it's even so good to joke about that sort of thing. We are Christians. We are children of God. Oh, you may have a preference of a preacher. You'd enjoy preaching and all that. But we ought to be called by that one precious holy name. Don't call me a Pruittite. Don't call me a Biscolite. If you want to call me something, call me a child of God. Call me a son of God filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just worship Him a little. You got a need in your body, a need in your life. Let me tell you something. The manifestation of my God is the same right here tonight as it was in the book of Acts. And His name, by faith in His name, still makes folks well. Glory to God. And it ain't just my faith and your faith. It's His faith in us that allows us to believe His word and call things that are not as though they were. Amen. Praise be to God. You got a need before Him? Why don't you just raise your hand? Some of you fighting depression, sickness. You don't think your life is worth living anymore. Why would you bear that? Jesus bore that for you so you don't have to bear it no more. Oh my, we talk so much, friends, around the message about divine healing. I'll tell you one thing, I wish we'd start talking about divine health. You know, you all know there's quotes in the message about divine health.
Some of y'all talk about sickness all the time and your disease all the time, and all of us have become professional doctors and we wonder why we ain't no better. You ought to quit Googling your sickness so much and go to doing a little bit of studying on health. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. 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 Come on, children. Divine health. The prophet uses those words, divine health. Oh, some of you didn't know that. Yes, it is a promise of God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What is that? That's part of His name. He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, not just riches running everywhere and cars everywhere, but enjoy serving Him. Enjoy living for Him. Drive away the old mully grubs out of our life. Drive away the sadness and the beat downness that we care about in this age. We ought to be happy as children of God. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Brother Donnie, I've got trouble. Sure, you got trouble. But we got joy that's greater than those troubles. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet. Let's sing it now. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Hallelujah! Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Once again, oh, it is joy unspeakable. How many can say, man, that it is? Unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. When I speak your name, I don't think of Bar Jesus. I don't think of Joshua. Oh, I don't think of Barabbas. When I say your name, I think of the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, my Savior, my King, my Redeemer. I've said your name since I was a little boy. Now I'm an old man and I love it now more than ever before. When I say your name, Lord, I think of the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, Adonai, El Shaddai, the seven compound redemptive names of God. But I not only think of names and titles, but I think of everything that's good, everything that's holy, everything that's pure, everything that's righteous. Hallelujah! I think of you, oh Lord, what the great personality that you are. I love your great name tonight, Lord. I'm so glad the whole family, the whole family in heaven, in earth, is called by your name. Which doesn't just necessarily mean that we pronounce the name over us, but it means the family resemblance runs in the nature of each family member. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we find in the place of Zion, God's provided place of worship that Job sought after, where God and His people are worshiped together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, great Lord God. I bless your name, Lord. I bless your name. Who are we, Lord Jesus, that you would call us from a world of darkness and give us such light? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord. We are not standing on the outer court of the Gentiles.
trying to project our voice behind the veil. But we have been called to the secret of your pavilion, into the inner sanctum of the Most High. Glory be to God. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. We who at one time were considered the offscouring, the Gentile dogs, but tonight we stand in the very Shekinah of the King of Kings. Praise God. Praise God. In your gate we worship. For you have desired Zion. And when Zion shall be restored, the Lord shall come in His glory. Out of Zion, He hath perfected praise forever. He hath desired Zion for His place of habitation. Oh, Lord Jesus, as Israel under her spiritual name was called Israel, also called Jeshurun, you would give them a spiritual name to identify the height of their spirituality. You would change the name of Solomon, and your relation to him was Jedediah. So you would name him according to your own personal relationship. Years ago, I used to be perfectly happy and satisfied being called a Pentecostal. Some of these folks were satisfied being called Baptist, Methodist, and whatever more. But we ain't satisfied being called that no more. But if you want to call us honey, and sweetheart, and darling, and love, and dove, glory to God. That sounds like real terms of endearment to us, Lord. We receive those terms from you. For to us it is further the manifestation of the character of God. We never knew God wanted a wife. So when you call us such things, it reveals who He is. Oh, glory to God. Lord Jesus, I bless your name. I bless your name. I stand here tonight in your name. And in your name, I bless your name. Hallelujah. I stand here as a member of the family of the name of Jesus. Not only by water baptism, but the very character of the name living in our lives. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. But our worship comes to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. From Zion's gate. From Zion's gate. The Shulamite gives you praise. The Shulamite, your bride, standing in the gate of worship. We adore. We magnify. We bless. Oh, lay your lap, head in our lap, Lord Jesus. We will say to the daughters of Jerusalem, stir not up nor awake my love till He please. We will not do you like Delilah did Samson, but we will be your pillar and ground of truth. Hallelujah. You knew the church would not let your truth die, so you could ascend into heaven to become the mediator. You wouldn't have to be here in body form, because she would be here. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I bless your name. I worship you tonight, Lord. You love Him, children. And not just saying the name, the name, the name. But if you're in the name tonight, let's just worship. While we're in the name, if two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of it. That does not say, okay, now we're gathered tonight in the name of Jesus, so that means Jesus is here. That's not what He said. If you're gathered in my name. Are we hearing his name? Oh, Brother Donnie, it's on the church center, Happy Valley Church. That's not what I'm saying. We are gathered in the name. God's door of fellowship and worship. Then we are standing here tonight in the mystical sphere of the name of God. Each of you that are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in the name of God, not water. You are immersed into the very name of God, in the sphere of God. So in the name of Jesus, I worship Jesus. I've been baptized in Jesus' name for many years before I come to the message. But I wasn't in the name. Praise the Lord. But I am tonight. Aren't we, Brother Gene? We are tonight, by the way. Let's just worship him just a little before we go. Oh, I don't want to keep you standing. We got church again in the morning. But oh, my. Something happened just a few minutes ago. Glory to God. Glory to God. When we get here, I don't care if we ever go home or not. I could stay here all night when this arrives. Hallelujah. When he moves over into that sphere, I don't care if we ever leave or not. Praise be to God. Oh, children, don't stand here. Let him pass by and you not recognize him. Hallelujah. Don't you understand when you're baptized into him, you're not just repeating the name. Oh, shouldn't I say it? Sure you should. But when you're in it and saying it, can you imagine the power that's released to you? I stood the other day in Tucson into the only remaining ICBM Titan II missile silo in the United States, looking at this warhead standing there with the capability of destroying 900 square miles. With the capability of flying 16,000 miles an hour. And it was shut down in 1982. Can you imagine what they can do now? And I stood there looking at that thing and just marveling at it. And I stood there looking at that warhead and I thought, think of it. When saints of God pray. Brother Ron said it to me, Ron Spencer. He was there, some of us preachers. When we come out of there, he said, think of it, buddy. Your prayers has more power than this missile. You think. No wonder why that missile speaks of death and annihilation and trouble and sorrow and suffering. And your prayers is touching the Father's heart. Think of what's given to us, church. Hallelujah. Let's just worship a little bit now. Before we go, let us in something, Harry. Think, here you stand tonight, buried in the sphere of the name of Jesus. You're wearing his name in baptism. You're wearing the wedding ring of unmerited favor. Amen. You're called by his name. You're using that name. You're buried in that name in water and buried in that name into the mystical body. And now you are worshiping the name through the name. Peter used the name through the name he was baptized in. Don't you see why other people come up and say, I charge you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. He wasn't in the name. He could scream Jesus all day long. Why? He wasn't in the name. He was using the name, but he wasn't in the name.
Oh, children, don't you love him? Hallelujah. Let's worship a little bit. Oh, praise God. Let's just worship you just a little before I let you go. Oh, Lord.
The more I find you.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Reveal yourself to our hearts, Father. Reveal yourself.
The more I find you.
Make your way, your nature, your name more real to us tonight, God. Hallelujah.
The more I love.
Close your eyes now. Just you and him.
I want to sit at your feet.
Yes, Lord.
Drink from this cup in your hand.
Hallelujah.
Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
His love is so deep.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord.
It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you. buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, so glory to stay.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Living, you love me.
Dying, you save me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Freely forever. Someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. You believe that? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away.
You tonight, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for letting us assemble together tonight again, Lord, in your presence. I pray, Lord God, we'd leave this place, Lord, loving your name more than ever before, wanting to say it more. Oh, but Jesus. Not just repeating your name. People use your name in cursing. They use your name in expressions of exclamation things. Oh, Jesus Christ. They don't mean it as a way of praise and honor. But, oh, Lord, may we use it as the holy, high, wonderful name of God. Glory to God. May we live by that name. Manifest that name. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, saints. See you in the morning. Sing, hey, let's worship him together as we go. You love him with all your heart. Won't it be wonderful when the whole family is gathered there together? God bless you. See you tomorrow at 11.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. sins far